Today, we're going to continue the theme as we speak about being led by the Holy Spirit. Speaking about being led by the Holy Spirit, I love how often we're at a prayer meeting at the beginning of the week, and the Holy Spirit leads me as to what He wants, the flavor He wants to come through on Sunday in preaching ministry. Even though we already had the series in place and all the rest of it, still looking for fresh edges and direction on the subject of honor. And we got into a conversation on Monday about practicing the pause. Yeah. So when I talk about being led by the Holy Spirit today, I'm talking about practicing the pause. And whether it's pausing for a second or pausing for more than a second, learning the discipline of making room for the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives, to shape our lives, yeah, to direct us, to bring blessing to us or through us. Yeah. In order for these things to happen, we've got to be still. I don't know if you're like me. I know a guy over here, he doesn't like being still. Does anybody know this guy? does like being still, doesn't like sitting down for long. He likes to be active. I'm quite like I'm not in his league. I'm not gonna pretend that I am. But I like to be active as well. I like to be busy. Lots of us like to be busy. And the Bible says in the last days there'll be lots of busyness, lots of rushing and about, running to and fro across the earth. And busyness is fine to a point, as the old saying used to be, idle hands, do the devil's work. You heard that old expression? So if we keep, the contrary thinking would be, well, if we keep active, we'll be all right. You know, if we keep active, we keep on a move. And there is a level of truth in all that, isn't there? But of course, we can be too busy. We can be too active. And even our tongues can be too active. This is one of the things we talked about in our conversation on Monday. You know, that we're not stopping to hear what God might want to say. Sometimes that could be in a conversation, you see. You know, we might be spouting, but in actual fact, there might be something. There might just be something that we still have to learn. And who knows, God might want to bring it through the person that you're having the conversation with. So we need to learn to practice the pause. It's good manners, if nothing else, isn't it? But when we come to this discipline, consider this discipline of practicing the pause to let God in, to let God breathe into situations, speak, bring direction, and all the rest. You know, of course, it's giving God that place of prestige, that place of honor above all else in our lives. I mean, what if you was to reflect on your week that has went past? I bet there has been plenty of pauses, but what have they been for? And who have they been for? Yes, because we are all in the habit of making room for people, making room for the input of different sources. That might be the input of the Reader's Digest, might be the input of the Money on the News, might be the input even of Christian resources such as the Daily Bread or UCB. But how much time have we set aside, how many times have we set aside all things just to sit and rest in the presence of God and to make room for Him? And of course, He can't speak through Christian resources, and He does. Yeah, but we need to be in people who become intentional and establish this habit. You know, not all habits are bad. Yeah, we establish the habit of making room for God and practicing the pause. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We want to see the miracles. We want to see the salvations, as we said amen to Ewan's prayer earlier. But it starts with us being in the right posture of heart and posture of mind. Yeah, if that person is going to receive the gospel, then first I need to be in position to receive the nudge of the Holy Spirit to go and speak to them. Amen? Amen. So that's the kind of line of thought I have for us today. And if there's a headline, a couple of verses, it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We read verses 20 to 21 there. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And, you know, it needs to be our business that we as best we can, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle gives that instruction. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Yeah? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And there's many ways, of course, that we could grieve the Holy Spirit through acts of disobedience. But oftentimes, it's not just the things, as we mentioned before, that we do that can be sinful. It's also the things that we do not do. Yeah? And I think often there's a picture, as we continue our vein of thought today, there's a picture of heaven wanting to break through in our lives, you know? There's that knocking on the door of our hearts. There's almost a frustration in the heavenlies, but we won't just be still, you know? We won't pause. We won't take time. You know, we're just going and going and going, and we're doing and doing and doing. We would, again, typically think of grieving the Holy Spirit by committing some grievous sin. Yeah? But often I believe that we're grieving the Holy Spirit because he's wanting to encourage you. He's wanting to sometimes correct you or I. He's sometimes wanting to shape something fresh in you, to birth something new in you, to communicate something through you to somebody else. Bless you to be a blessing, amen? But we're not putting ourselves in lane because we're failing to practice the pause. And I make these statements. These are general statements. Generalizations is teaching to our congregation today, but of course there's many amongst us who will be well adept at practicing the pause. You will, in fact, you'll maybe be so schooled in practicing the pause that you need to practice the activity. Yeah, yeah, because you've learned what it is to wait upon the Lord and to discern his voice, and you're very sensitive to that. As I've just touched on there just now, of course, that is the first stage of two. Hearing him is one thing. The second challenge we have is to obey him, yeah? But we're focusing in the foremost today on practicing the pause, putting ourselves in position to hear from God, to be nudged by God, to be led by the Holy Spirit. I spoke recently to you about the DPF filter on our diesel car. It is not a gift from God. I'm convinced these things are from the pit, the DPF filter. And I got indication from the dash on the car that there was an issue with this DPF filter. But the truth be told, I wasn't willing to pay the price. You know, because what that light was telling me was not just that there was a problem with the DPF filter, but I would need to pay a significant amount of money if I was going to need to fix that DPF filter. You know what? I wasn't wanting to do that. And now you know what the result is, Stephen? The car doesn't move. Correct. The car doesn't move. You see, and we need to be willing to pay the price. If we're going to deal with weeds superficially, you probably all know this now with a few gardeners in the congregation, if we think we're just going to cut the things off at the surface and you know, it's disappeared from the eye, and that's it, then we're kidding ourselves because the root is there, isn't it? It's going to come back up, and oft times it's going to come up bigger and badder. So we need to respond to the indications accordingly as they come our way. So sometimes the Holy Spirit is prompting us about danger. He's prompting us about situations that we might be involved in or choices we're away to make that are going to be really detrimental for us. We need to hearken to that. You know, we need to take heed to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? That light ain't flashing up in the dashboard just to give us a light show. Yeah? And if we don't heed, then we're going to have an engine malfunction or some other significant problem. I shared a story recently when I was away with the worship team at an event near Lawrence Kirk of a few years ago when I was on a train journey. And we got off the train. Or I got off the train and only had 3 minutes to make my change to the other train because the train had come in late. And I looked across the bridge at Newcastle train station to the other tracks and I could see a train and I was getting off at Sheffield, but a train that was going to Manchester. Yeah, so it was Manchester via Sheffield and that's where I was getting off. And I could see the digital writing in the distance, Sheffield. Manchester. So I scampered across the bridge to the other side of the tracks. But there was this little check in my spirit. There was something inside me was saying, this ain't right. And I looked up and down, you know, the, the concourse, and I couldn't see an attendant for the life of me, but I saw two police officers, and I had a voice in my head that said, just go on a train. It says Manchester, and I don't know why you're looking at them. They didn't work for the train line, you idiot. Just get on the train. Well, why are you thinking about talking to them? They're not here to help you. But this nudging was leading me another direction. This nudging was saying, just go and talk to the police officers. Talk to them. So I went to the police officer and I said, can you help me? Look, I'm going to Sheffield and I'm away going this train to Manchester, but I'm just not sure. And a policeman says, aye. And he looked across and he said, no. He says, that's your train over there. He says, if you get on that train, it'll take you to Manchester Airport direct. I went, thank you. Picked my bags and scuttled across the bridge, back to the other side of the tracks, and like Indiana Jones, dived through the doors just before I got squished. Yeah. If I hadn't hearkened to the leading in me that day, then I would have ended up at the wrong destination. Yeah. I wouldn't have ended up at the desired destination. Hands up in your dreams and your plans with your issues of your family, your life and your health and all things, you want to arrive at the correct destination. Yeah? I think we're all in the same boat or train there. Yeah? I think we're all in the same mind, aren't we? We all want to arrive at the same destination. So oft times the Holy Spirit, you see, he's wanting to nudge and lead us in the right direction that we might arrive at the right destination, that we might not have malfunctions in our engine, that we might not have significant issues because of wrong choices or too much activity in our life because we were not able to be guided by the Holy Spirit. But I want to look at three things very quickly that speak not so much about what he's trying to prevent us from, but the things he's wanting to lead us into. If we would be in a position to be nudged and led by the Holy Spirit, if we would practice the pause. The three things are replenishment, restoration, and revival. Replenishment, restoration, and revival. In Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to fly on real quick. You can catch up in your Bibles if you want. Verses 28 to 31, we read, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There is replenishment, refreshment to be found in the presence of God. If we would just park things up for a moment, sometimes all it takes is a moment, yeah? Just to be in his presence. There's a modern worship song that declared, just one touch from the king changes everything. Yeah, but do we wait long enough that the king can touch us? Yeah? Do we wait long enough that we can hear even just a whisper of his voice? Do we abide long enough that something of him might rub onto something of us? You remember that wonderful story with the woman of the issue of blood, when she just, all she laid hold of, all she could touch was just the hem of the garment of Jesus. Yeah? And you think, like we would have, if we'd lived in her day, that she probably would have loved to have had Jesus come to her house for tea, like Zacchaeus did and some other people did. She would have loved that. She would have loved to be in the person that Jesus looked in the eye and visited or prayed and spent ages with and sat on the mountainside. She wasn't afforded that opportunity. All she could get was just to lay hold of the hem of his garment. But yet, all that she did was all that she needed. Just one touch, just one mere hem of the garment of Christ brought transformation to her. And friends, somebody needs to hear today that it might just be a minute you have to spend, but minute by minute will bring transformation to your soul. Yeah, Rome, as they say, wasn't built in a day. And sometimes we are bullied by religion and legalistic thinking to think that we must have some ordered 7 day a week, 3 hour prayer session and 6 hours of scripture. Just start with a minute. Start with a minute. You know, you'll never know. That'll maybe lead you in a discipline, a habit, a journey of discipleship where you are praying for long periods of time and reading great swathes of scripture. Praise God if you do. But if you don't start with a minute, I can guarantee you something. It ain't going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Yeah? Somebody once said, when we pray, coincidences happen. And when they don't, they don't. Prayer moves mountains. Silence moves nothing. Silence moves nothing. Yeah? So start with a minute, friend. Somebody needs to hear that today. And it may be that you have an issue, like the woman had an issue. And Jesus can transform your situation, but with 1 minute, with one touch. Sometimes it's not even a minute, is it? It's just a heart, a sincere, contrite heart cry that the Father will always entertain. In 1 Kings in chapter 17, we read of the leading of the Holy Spirit in the life of a man called Elijah. And Elijah was led by God, notice the words there, led by God to proclaim a drought, a famine in the land. But the Lord also led him to the brook Cherith, where he provided divinely food and water through the river there for him to be sustained. But there came a time that the brook ran dry. And then the Lord led him again to the widow of Zarephath. And he was provided miraculously for there as he led the woman to believe for more, to believe for increase. He was led. Refreshment continued to be provided in the life of Elijah because he put himself in lane. He practiced the pause. He learned the discipline to wait upon God, to put himself in a window where in vulnerability, in humility, he acknowledging that he didn't have the answers. He needed answers. He didn't have the direction, and he needed direction. So he turned to the one who possessed all things, and guess what? The one who possessed all gave him everything that he needed. If you got a need in your life today, then you better begin to practice the pause. Because friend, like me, you do not have the answers. Yeah, we'll sometimes manage to deal with superficial things and this, that. I'm talking about the things that we cannot see. Yeah, how am I going to get from, you know, to the back of this when there is this mountain of impossibility in front of me? How am I going to achieve at that career or that destination that God has put in my heart that is totally outside of me? It's beyond me. It blows my mind, but I know God's put it there. Well, you're going to need to wait upon the Lord. You're going to need to look to Him. And in the meantime, in the waiting, in the droughts, in the wildernesses, He is faithful because He who has begun a good work in you is always faithful to see it through to completion. And Scripture speaks of salvation, the journey of salvation. But that is true of the consistent in the nature of God with anything that He births within you. If He has set within your heart a dream, a vision, a purpose, and it's yet to be realized, then wait upon Him. Wait upon Him. In the meantime, He will sustain you. And in due season, He'll reveal the next steps. Amen? Matthew 14:23 says, after he, that is Jesus, sent the crowds away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. He was there alone. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. You know, Jesus was a person that needed to be refreshed. Amen. At the end of a busy day of ministry, in his God-like state, he also carried the human form. Yeah? It was God, remember, within man, God incarnate. Yeah? At the heart of that humanity was the living God, but there was still the humanity that had to be dealt with, that he had to wrestle with at times, as we think of his battle with temptation in the wilderness, as we think about his battle in the Garden of Gethsemane, yeah? Where he sought, if it was possible, for the cup of suffering to be passed from him. Jesus knew temptation. He knew the weaknesses of the flesh. He was undoubtedly tired in this moment. Friend, if you're tired, then I would suggest to you today that more action is not the solution, but rest in Him. This is, we would say, the Sabbath day, But we don't abide by the law anymore. It's good. You might then ask, well, why are we meeting together? Why do we meet together every week on a Sunday? Well, it's good practice. The Bible says, let us not forget the assembly of the brethren together. Yeah, we do it in all different forms through the week. And it's a good habit for us to continue. But if we want to talk Sabbath, Jesus is our Sabbath. Yeah, he is our Sabbath. You're getting two sermons in one now. He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. It's in him, the Bible says, that we live and move and find our being. Amen? So when we pause and spend time with him, is we can be thinking about him. We can be singing a song of worship about him. We can be pushing ourselves, immersing ourselves into his word. Remember, he is the living word. Yeah? We are abiding in him. We are resting and being refreshed in him. And if he needed to do it, if he needed to dwell with the Father that he might be refreshed for a new day, I think maybe we might just need to do the same. Amen. The second thing is restoration. John's Gospel in chapter 13, verse 8 and 14. I'm going fast, I know, but you'll know this well. Peter said to Jesus, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet," he says in verse 14. Yeah, you see, sometimes we need to practice the pause because we just are growing tired. We leak, as they say, as Christians in our humanity. We don't possess everything. We know him who is all in all, but we in ourselves are not all in all. He fills us with our Holy with the Holy Spirit, but then we minister in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be refreshed. Yeah, we need to continually recycle. But also because sometimes in the busyness and the rough and ready of life of this world and Christian ministry, sometimes things damage us. Sometimes we get knocked. Sometimes our confidence gets knocked. And we need to be restored. Yeah, sometimes we need to be restored because we've messed up, purely and simply. I think we all fall into these categories, don't we? We have all felt broken and weary for all sorts of reasons. And I don't know about you, I am thankful for the one who restoreth my soul. Yeah? Where would we be without him? Can you imagine if we'd made that commitment and he just said, "Amen. Now, just get on, wait until kingdom come." You know, if he just left us to our own devices, what a mess we would be in. It's a challenge in life, isn't it? The Christian life. Can you imagine what it would be like without the Holy Spirit and without the right and privilege that we have to be able to come into the presence of the Father? Wow, it blows the mind. And Jesus was to get this through to Peter here today. In that day when they met, and he wrapped him that towel around his waist and sat at the knelt at the feet of Peter with the basin of water. He was to get across to him. Not only would he need to receive restoration, but perhaps more significantly, unless he did, he would be of no purpose in the service of God. He would be of no benefit. Yeah? Jesus said there again in verse 14, in verse 8, he says, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Now, he wasn't meaning, "I'm not going to love you, you have nothing to do with me." He's meaning, you cannot be effective in my service. Yeah, you cannot bear fruit of the kingdom. You cannot be a tool in the work of the kingdom here on earth. You can carry the name. And I think we've all been there. I've been there oftentimes. We go through the motions. We still carry the name. But when there's things needing fixed, have you ever thought, I'd love to invite such and such round for a cup of tea or for supper and whatever, but the house has been falling apart. Yeah? And the house has been falling apart and you've thought, "No, I just can't do it right now because there's things here that need fixed." And sometimes it's our health. I would love to, such and such. I know they're on holiday this week and they would like some company. They've been struggling a bit lately. I would love to invite them out for a cup of tea, but, I'm just full of the flu. I can't do that because then I'll go and smite them with what I've got. No, we first need to take care of me, don't we? We need to get me better. We need to fix our abode so we can then take them in, or we need to allow our health to be fixed, to find healing, that we might then be able to bring other people alongside. Jesus put it another way, didn't he? You know, before you go thinking, we looked at this recently in our Connect studies, before thinking you're going to go and address something that's going on in somebody else's world by taking the speck out of their eye, how's about dealing with that plank that's in your own first, yeah? And it can be about correction. It can be about just simply loving and helping people. But we got to be in a position, first and foremost, ourselves, that we are right with God. Otherwise, with all the best intentions of the world, we'll actually be of no benefit to them. That's what Jesus was saying there. If we're kind of ignorant about that, I think that's where what we read in Psalm 23 comes into action. It says in verse 1 to 3, these famous words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." We read again there twice in those three verses, the statements, "He leads me. He leads me." But it began out before we read those statements of "He leads me." The first one we read was, "He makes me." Did you notice that? "He makes me lie down in green pastures." And I think if I look back in my life, I can see times that the Lord has had to make me lie down. Yeah? Because either I've just been running about too busy, yeah, and I've not been taking time to pause, or I've been running about with stuff that's detrimental to me, and detrimental to God ultimately as well, and the potential I have to serve others, and I'm not going to fulfill because I'm carrying rubbish. Yeah, He in His mercy can make us lie down, that we might come to our senses, that we come to a place of rest and replenishment and restoration. There's a wonderful illustration of this, I believe, in Luke chapter 6. Not because Jesus had done wrong, but because he, again, needed the restoration of God, I believe, in this moment. Luke chapter 6. Why don't you turn with me in your Bible and see this with me? In verse 12, as you're turning there, we read these words. It says, "It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God." That's Luke chapter 6. "It was at this time." I read that statement and the question I ask myself, at what time? What was this time? Well, if we jump in at verse 12 there, if we jump in at verse 6, it says, "Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Arise and stand here.' And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, 'I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy?' And when he had looked around them all, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." Then it says again, "Now it came to pass in those days," or an alternative translation, "it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray. And he spent the whole night in prayer to God." And I would suggest to you, friends, that Jesus, in his humanity, was a little overwhelmed in this moment. He was a little overwhelmed. He was suffering from the intimidation of the religious order of the day. They were upon him like a pack of wolves. And we read there in the heart of that little passage, it said there that he knew their thoughts. Did you see that there? Yeah, he knew their thoughts. He knew why they were asking the questions they were asking. He knew that they were looking for some corner that they could take him down, that they could criticize him at the very, very, very least. But we knew that they had a very severe agenda, that they wanted to stone him, they wanted to put him to death. Jesus knew their thoughts. And even after he exercised himself with righteousness and perfection, and saw this man's hand restored, they were still baying for his blood. I think his heart must have been torn as well, because whether they were out of order or not, they were part of the whosoever that he had came to this earth to bleed and die for upon a cross. He must have just been torn, broken within himself. And for me, that is why Jesus then had to go and spend this prolonged time in prayer in the presence of the Father. Perhaps it was that he might enter into a new day with the right posture of heart. They might be able to continue with mercy and discernment and wisdom, knowing that these guys would be coming back again. And also that he would have a whole day of intense ministry. He was a guy that had been buffeted, had been knocked by the religious order, and he needed to restore his soul. Finally, revival. Often, you know, we see God's delay when we speak about pausing and waiting and all this. We think, oh, but that's a delay. We're so busy. There's so much to be done. You know, isn't Jesus coming back? Come on, we need to go, go, go. Often when we think about pause and delay and waiting, we're thinking that it's delay, it's delay. But you know, oftentimes what we see as delay is actually God's design. It is God's perfect order. Yeah, and here's a great story about an engineer called Ferdinand Marie Lesseps in 1832, who was traveling along the Mediterranean when one of the passengers on the boat became sick, and everybody on the ship was put into quarantine. Lesseps was a very active man, just like that man over there, and because of this, he became really frustrated. Really frustrated. You know, it'd been bad enough if they were told they were going to have to stay on the boat a bit longer. But he, you know, along with the rest of the passengers, was put into his cabin, you know, like a caged animal, very frustrated. And after a couple of days, he found a book to read, and it was a book about the memoirs of a man called Charles Lepere, a man who had studied the feasibility of building a canal between the Red Sea and the Mediterranean. And the time that followed, Lesseps took the time that was afforded him in his confinement, in his perceived inconvenience. He took that time to think and prepare a plan for the construction of what is now known as the Suez Canal. It was opened 30 years after this time of isolation. And the Suez Canal, we know, has brought then and since invaluable service to the world. That quarantine, that inconvenience actually proved to be immensely profitable. See, church, God is in a business of doing new things. But if we don't allow ourselves to be quarantined at times, if we don't practice the pause and establish the healthy habits and disciplines of those that wait upon the Lord, then there ain't nothing new going to happen in you or through you unless God decides divinely and mercifully that he's going to do it that way. This is the way that he has ordered things. And yes, again, sometimes he does just do things divinely because he is God. But in the all too oftens, as we read through Scripture, he does it through people who are waiting, people who are available, people who practice the pause. We think of not just Jesus in the wilderness, we think of John the Baptist in the wilderness. You think of such men and you think, what must their minds have been like when the Spirit of God was leading them to take these 40-day periods out? You know, bear with me, but you know, Jesus in his human thinking, we almost would have forgiven him for saying to the Father, I know you wrote the script, but have you read it lately? There is a world to save here. 40 days, Father? 40 days? Maybe Jesus needed to have that conversation in one of his waiting times with the Father. But the Father would have, if he did, would have set a peace within his heart and an assurance that this was the way that he needed to walk. Yeah? Unless we wait, we sometimes forgo the preparation that is essential for the next thing of God in us, or perhaps that which is going to come through us. It's not just, you see, about the cleansing. It's not just about the refreshing or that which needs to be repurposed in our lives. It's also about the preparations. It's also about the new things. And Scripture says and speaks actively again to us today, behold, God would say, I'm doing a new thing. But then it goes on to say this. Remember, we looked at the beginning of the year. Do you perceive it? Do you perceive it? How are we going to see the new signs, figuratively, that are put up in this room unless we enter through the door? How are we going to hear the fresh things that God is going to say unless we come and sit at his feet? We will never lose. It's never a subtraction. It's never a negative when we take time with God. It's always a plus. In fact, oftentimes, it's a multiplication. Yeah. There's an old famous quote. Ronnie, you maybe tell me who said this. One of the old preachers who said, I pray, I think it was something like 3 hours a morning before I go into my day of ministry. Maybe Wigglesworth. And he said, today, I have got a really busy day, so I'm going to pray 8 hours instead. Yeah, that's true. And he did. But do you understand what he was saying? You see, the more we wait, the more we can do. Because the capacity is not in our human strength, esteem, or thinking. It is by the power of God. It's not by might. It's not by human power or effort, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And a UCB word for today, friends, today, it opens out with this statement. It says, the most powerful testimony of all is a life that can't be explained without God. Here's a challenging question for you today. Can your life be explained without God? Do you, as you reflect upon your story, do you have the fingerprints to speak about, the fingerprints of God upon your life, where you have paused, where you have waited, and God has challenged you about something. He's called you out to do something, to serve in some way, to receive something fresh of him, and you can nail that. You can testify to that because you practiced, at least in that moment, the pause. As we read earlier, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Is your story, is it characterized just by good stories, or are there fingerprints of God moments where you've practiced the pause? You see, we need to be still and know that he is God. Yeah? That he is God. Luke chapter 11, we're just nearly finished here. Leah and the guys, if you could come up, please, that would be brilliant. It says here, it happened that whilst Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples. Why do you think the disciples asked Jesus this? Why do you think, you're thinking, well, it's obvious. They said why. They wanted to learn how to pray, like these other guys were taught. Yeah, but why? Why did they want to pray? This is in chapter 11 of Luke's gospel. So we're now right into the meat and drink of the earthly ministry of Christ. The dead have been raised. The blind eyes have been opened. The ears have been unblocked. Sicknesses, people have been healed of. Heaven is being manifest on the earth. And they're not just seeing this, are they? They're not just seeing this. They're seeing the habits of their master. They're seeing where this power is coming from. This guy is not from this earth. And he is not power sourced from this earth. He is empowered from on high. He waits upon the Lord. And look what happens as a result. Folks, we want to see this earth turn the right way up. We want to see family members saved. We want to see all manners of things. Some of the things, despite our wants, we're not going to see, because all things are subject to the will of God. But if we are going to see anything, we need to be them that practice the pause. Psalms chapter 5 and verse 3, David says here, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. I will give you honor. I will honor you. I'll give you the first fruits of the day. And we believe that in the life of David, eh? We believe that that was a guy that had this discipline, this habit, early every morning, probably, and maybe other times throughout the day, as we see his character and his true heart coming through the Psalms, don't we? But guys, don't be bound by legalistic thinking. Again, like I touched on earlier, don't be bound by religious thinking that it has to be that way for you. It's got to be something. It doesn't have to be at 6 o'clock every single morning. You put that noose around your neck and you'll probably hang yourself with it. But practice the pause. It may be at 12 in the afternoon. It may be on the bus. It may be in the middle of a conversation with somebody. Practice the pause. Wait upon the Lord. Allow God to speak, to breathe into your life. Again, whether it's to refresh your soul, whether it's to restore your spiritual walk, or whether it's to instill something new, to give a prompting, a leading that might bring change, transformation, even salvation in your life, through your life, to allow the windows of heaven to become the gateway of your soul, to shine through you and into the darkened world around you. Who knows what heaven is waiting to birth through you, through me? Who knows? But you can know. You can know if you'll wait upon the Lord, if you'll practice the pause. Are you challenged today, church? You hear what I'm saying? You hear what very much the Holy Spirit has put in my heart there. And don't you know, go throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Don't go thinking, well, that's justification for being slack and just once in a blue moon I'll think about reading my Bible or having a word of prayer. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Yeah? Be led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Be led by the Holy Spirit. I had a day this week, and on Wednesday, I'm trying to take a Wednesday off at the moment. And I walked the dog and I worshiped the Lord and I spent some time doing nothing. Oh, I felt like I was in Psalm 23. Yeah. You see, it's not all activity, and reading chapter upon chapter. It's doing what the Holy Spirit's saying to you right now. I don't mean literally right now, but it could be that. It's being sensitive and available to Him each moment, day by day. Because He wants to bless you. He wants to refresh you, He wants to restore you, He wants to reach the world around you. Let's pray.